Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everyone? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show, and it's time for to figure out our predictions, because I know that I predicted Donald Trump to win the presidency of the United States, and the guy I have in the line also did, but I want to hear his response. This is Rob Roy from OptionClarity.com. Welcome back, Rob.
Thanks, Bubba. Good to be here.
So what's your take on what happened in the election? Let's hear your thoughts now. Now that I firmly went out on a limb and said he was going to win. That's what you have to say.
Well, first of all, kudos to you, and you put me on the spot. I did pick Trump as well, but I also gave the caveat that I wasn't as confident in that prediction as you were. You were very staunch in your prediction that he was going to win, and you were 100% right. And I stayed up, as I'm sure a lot of people did, the entire night, watched the acceptance speech. I thought Trump was very humble. I think we'll get into that as well, I'm sure, that the protesting and craziness that's going on around the country is absolutely ridiculous. But I want to make sure and be clear and give you kudos. You were one of the few that was confident in a Trump victory. You were saying it. You said it all along, and you never wavered in that prediction. And congratulations on being 100% right.
I'm one of the few of the proud. I'm a Marine. There you go. So, right now, Trump is in office. Not in office, I'm sorry. He's the president-elect. But now the markets have gone parabolic. They're like nuts. What do you read from what's happening in the markets now with what you're seeing? I mean, to me, the old problems did not go away just because he got elected, and I understand his ideas, but I thought we were substantially overvalued before, and we've added on another 10% to the market. What do you think?
I'm with you on that, and looking at, it's being a technician. It sounds egotistical, but I don't mean it to be. But I am a technical trader, and not everybody agrees with that. But I do look at the charts. I examine the charts. I feel like I'm good at patterns. On my IQ test, I scored 100% on the visual spatial part, which is where they give you a pattern in the past, and you're supposed to pick what's the next likely sequence in the pattern. I don't know if you've ever had an IQ test before, but that's what the visual spatial part is. So I'm pretty good at reading charts, whether they be charts in the market or, just traditional patterns, puzzles, things like that. So I'm pretty good at that type of thing. So I'm with you on the overbought scenario. And when you're looking at trending patterns, you want that 45-degree angle. That shows accumulation. You want just right at or slightly above average volume. Those are the patterns that tend to hold over time, at least that's been my experience. Well, here, you're right, we've had a parabolic ride following the election. I think there's a lot of optimism about a return to some business sense in Washington, likely some fiscal stimulus programs, and the market's gotten way in front of itself, in my opinion. And then when you watch the volume dwindle away, you know, I've got a few technical indicators that I look at, but there's so many of them. And one of the things that, in, again, my opinion, that technical traders get bogged down in is trying to focus on too many technical indicators, because you can never get them all to agree. You have to, find one or two that you have some trust and belief in, get good at them, and, do your best, try to put the odds and percentages in your favor. But there's never any substitute for good old-fashioned price-to-volume action. Again, my opinion. So when you see a vertical parabolic move and the volume is dwindling down, and it was, massive volume in the early part of the rally, I think you have to really feel that there's a pullback in the offering and not in a not too distant future. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean the volume. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't like the vertical nature of the rally. I would have rather seen a just a steady, slow, good, solid volume, 45-degree angle accumulation type of a a rally, but that's not what we've had. And I think it's suspect, and people need to be very cautious.
No, we've had a major straight up move. I mean, parabolic, I call it a blow off type pattern, which usually means that this pattern is ending and we're going to start to see either consolidation or a reversal. What are you seeing with that?
I agree. And the analogy that I usually use when you see a vertical move like this is like a rocket. A rocket going up, you've got all that thrust, you know, from when the rocket takes off. But when the engine stops, if it doesn't make it to the space and zero gravity and all that, what happens? It goes straight up, runs out of fuel, comes straight back down. That's usually what happens in these vertical moves. You go straight up and come straight back down. And now the question to me becomes, how far is the retracement? I'm firmly of the belief that we're in for a pretty solid retracement here, and we'll just have to see how far that comes. But I really think we'll at least retrace all of this vertical move. They just don't hold. You know, historically, these vertical-type moves don't hold. It was fascinating. I imagine you were watching it too, Bubba. It was fascinating to watch the futures on election night, how we were limit down. And then from that point, from being limit down, we go vertically to the upside. And I wanted to ask you about this. I wanted to ask your opinion of this. I don't think it's really in the past it was. Remember the old talk in the financial crisis when the market was crashing and they talked about the crash police and there was this conspiracy theory about, you know, the Federal Reserve that, you know, would come in and buy S&P futures when we were crashing completely. But, Janet Yellen's actually come out, and I think this is incredibly wrong. I think you're with me on this, that the Federal Reserve would even consider meddling in the financial markets. But she has specifically said that under given circumstances, the Federal Reserve would consider buying equity, buying S&P equity. And what are they doing fooling around in the financial markets? And when you saw that, you know, there's also talked about, I heard, you know, Carl Icahn bought $1 billion worth of S&P futures when they were limit down. I don't know if that's true or not, or speculation, or maybe even his camp was, you know, putting that out there to make it look like he's a genius or whatever. But what are your thoughts about Janet Yellen's comments? I got two questions. First of all, did you ever buy into the crash police theory during the financial crisis? And second of all, your thoughts on Janet, I think I can guess what your thoughts are, but I want to hear you say it, on Janet Yellen's comments that the Federal Reserve, under certain circumstances, would consider buying equities in the market.
Well, first of all, they've already copied the Japan model, which we know doesn't work, and they're buying equities, so that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I think it's pretty dumb, but I don't think that'll happen now, because I think that I believe she's going to resign before Trump takes office. That's my opinion, because he'll beat the crap out of her. And I think he really wants to reorganize and kind of end the Fed the way that we see it today. But would I be surprised? No, not at all. Because, they're following the broken down Japan model anyways. So that would not surprise me that they would start buying things, because, again, don't ask me why they're trying to keep the stock market afloat. It's ridiculous, because it's got nothing to do with the overall economy. But that's where we are. And then as far as Carl Icahn buying, I would be surprised if he bought. But I can say that Carl Icahn's hedge fund has not made money for 3 years, so he can make all the great buys he wants. He better figure out how to run his own business and quit worrying about, you know, making a splash, because he made a fortune on Apple, he made a fortune on Herbalife and a couple others, and he still can't manage to turn a profit over the last 3 years. So that would be something that I would say, well, if you're that good, why can't you do it all the time? I mean, it was an easy buy down there if you wanted to buy it. And I didn't buy it. I actually traded all night, and I was selling all night. And then I was covering on the way down. I just didn't choose to get long. I was waiting for another spot to get short. And unfortunately, I'm still waiting for another spot to do that. But we are with Rob Roy, optionclarity.com, one of our experts, and we're going to stop by here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. When you miss an episode, go to libertytalk.fm and download the show, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. We'll be right back after the break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're coming right back with more from Rob Roy. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz with Rob Roy, optionclarity.com. And so, Rob, we've got a whole new day coming, and we've got a market that is pretty much out of control to the upside. And one of the problems I see with a sell-off anytime soon is the seasonality of where we are within the year, typically the Santa Claus rally and all those other things. What do you think? What are you seeing here?
Well, as we were chatting before the break, the parabolic move is suspect. The drop-off in volume is concerning if you're along. I just, to put it out there, increased short positions today. I was waiting for the right opportunity. The VIX had a doji on the chart yesterday, and we're right back down at the volume bottom. You and I have talked about the VIX in the past, and unusual low volatility and the expectation of that increasing. So I think today's an opportunity, Monday probably as well. You know, we got a holiday shortened week next week that tends to let the markets drift a bit. So might be a little bit early on my call, but I think that this over, what was Greenspan's term on the exuberance?
Irrational exuberance, but I have to say...
Irrational exuberance, yes. So I think that we may be seeing a little bit of that with this post-election. What were you going
to
say?
No, I just have to say, though, that the one problem I have, and listen, I'm short, so I'm not condemning you for being short. I've been short, but I am concerned because of the seasonality that it could hold off until later because... You know, you go unless we already had the Santa Claus rally, which we've had every year, even in 08, we had a big rally going into the end of the year. So, you know, it broke late in the year, but going into it, so they could test your will here a little bit. And that's kind of what I'm worried about. I mean, I'm short and I'm not, you know, but I'm recommending everybody kind of observe here, even though I believe that that's the correct position to be in. But of course, you know, if you can understand and take the heat or the pressure that will come along with potentially being short here. You know, I think it's just a concern, but does that concern you at all or no?
Yeah, what's the old adage? I'm never short a dull market, right? And what do we normally have in the holidays? You get past Thanksgiving into Christmas and New Year's, and the market's dull because nobody's there. The volume dries up, and that's what a dull market is, low volume. And typically, that tends to let the markets drift higher. So I do have that same concern. You know, we're some pretty solid resistance that we've been at for a while. Do we have the momentum to break above that? If we do, I certainly don't think it'll hold because we are in an overbought scenario. So I think it's a head fake if we break above it. It could very well be 4 to 6 weeks early on this. I'm an options trader, and I like to put the Greeks in my favor. So, you know, I look at sort of the combination that gives you the best delta and Gamma and Vega and all those wonderful Greeks that go along with the options. But I have gone further out in time just because of that, that aspect. And and I'm not normally a big fan of, you know, doubling up on the way down, or if you're wrong, that's normally a fool's game. But that actually is my plan at this point in time, is if we do get that low volatility, you know, low volume drift through the holidays. I just plan to add to the short positions because once we get to January and reality comes back in, I do think we're due for a pullback. And that's not anything against, I actually am pretty excited about the future of the country and to see what Trump can put in place with some actual real pro-business philosophies and governing policies in Washington, and I think it's going to be a surprise to a lot of people, but it's too early. The market always looks ahead, but it's looking way too far ahead at this point in time, in my opinion.
Well, so, I agree.
Anyway, that's my plan. I just went short today. I'm going to add them in shorts on Monday, and then I will sit back and slowly add through the end of the year if we do get one of those Santa Claus rallies.
I mean, I agree that we're way too ahead because, first of all, he hasn't even taken office yet. So, you know, we're pricing in things that he may do and that he may get approved, and he should. But, you know, are we overextending the markets here? And I know you and I both agree that they are overextending. But, of course, as the the jackass of our economy, of the economic way we do business, the Keynesian, Maynard Keynes, said the markets will remain irrational longer than we can remain solvent. And that's always an issue when you're trying to go ahead and pick up here. And again, I don't mind taking a good calculated probability trade, which is, I know what you're doing. And what I do is, you know, kind of measure it off against what's going on. And I think we can see that. But they are way ahead, because I think everybody's forgotten about all the economic problems we have globally. And I think that's a bigger problem. What do you think?
Well, I do. And, I have to see, the markets are smart. In general terms, I think the bond market is smarter than the equities market, but the markets are smart. But, interest rates are going up. And I was looking for a bit of a pullback to get into interest rates going up, and they didn't give me much of one. You know, you had one day, and it went back to the upside. That's going to hurt earnings. You know, the markets have been surviving on this liquidity heroin that the Federal Reserve has been pumping into the markets. That's going to go away. Likely, we're going to see some inflationary pressures. We're going to see interest rates going to the upside. That's not good for profits in the long term. So I think we have a lot of things in our favor. I do wonder, based on the time of the year, if I'm just a tad early, but and that's the way things work out. If I'm, if I'm giving an honest assessment to my trading career, I'm usually right on direction, not always right on the timing. But, in the end, if you know how to make adjustments to positions, then the timing isn't as big a deal as being right in the long run on direction. So I would be more concerned about being wrong through the holidays if this run to the upside hadn't been vertical. But the other thing to consider is, a lot of people are talking about how, all right, well, we've got a Republican president, we have a Republican controlled House and Senate. However, they don't have filibuster protection in the Senate. We don't have 60 votes. So, there is an aspect of, regardless of, other than executive orders that Trump can sign, and he's probably going to repeal a lot of the things that Obama did, this isn't a slam dunk that all of these things that he wants to get done are going to get done. I think we're going to hear that word filibuster until we're sick to our stomachs over the next 4 years. But I do think some things will go through, but maybe not as much as what the market is showing this irrational exuberance over so far. What do you think about that?
No, I agree. I mean, again, I believe in cycles. I believe markets are well overvalued here. I believe that there's a tremendous problem with debt that is not being accounted for right here. And those are things that, eventually we'll come back to roost. Now, again, the issue always comes down to, and that's why you have to be cautious in here, is how do you play it from here? Because, again, you have a market that is basically running on heroin, as you called it, and it's been running on heroin for basically 8 years. And, we still have a lot of that cheap money. So the real problem will come in is when the rates start to go up, what happens to all that cheap money? I mean, we're already at 50% of debt to GDP. Where do we go from here? What do you think?
Well, I think you make a wonderful point on the debt. And even though, and I agree with you that, interest rates have taken an awful parabolic move since Trump was elected, but they're still historically extremely low. So money is still cheap. But our debt is so high that even though interest rates are cheap, any sort of an increase in interest rates is a burden as far as managing the debt and making our payments on the debt. And these things are going to take some time. I don't care who comes into office. I don't care what their policies are. You can't turn economies on a dime. It just doesn't work that way. It's going to take some time. And my normal philosophy has been that the markets look 6 to 9 months ahead. Well, they better be looking further ahead than that.
I got to cut you off here for a minute. We have to look a year ahead. But this is The Bubba Show with Rob Roy, OptionClarity.com. Notice how I dropped the S. I just want to make sure I remember.
I appreciate that, Bubba. Appreciate that.
OptionClarity.com. LibertyTalk.fm is where you can download the show every single day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekends. We're going to stop by here for a break, but don't forget to stop by Bubba Trading because I'm always bitching about something. You can see it in writing there, as well as all the things we're offering. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be back right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Rob Roy, OptionClarity.com. So, Rob, you know, we've got the Fed thinking of raising or talking about potentially raising in December, which we know they're going to raise because they're idiots, but they're going to raise in June, in December. But, of course, we've got one more jobs number coming out, which we know is also BS, okay? And we have Trump promising lots of jobs, but of course, like anything else, he can't create them out of magic. He doesn't have Houdini working for him. He's got to give it time to build. So give us your views on the past job number, which I call BS, which I did on also on GDP. And what are your forecasts and what are you thinking? Give us your views.
Well, as we've talked about in the past regarding the jobs report, it's ridiculous what the government puts out. And nobody, I haven't heard anybody that talks about, we talked about it in the past, but I haven't heard anybody else talk about these jobs that are being added, where the majority of them are part-time jobs, but they don't talk about how many of them are second and third jobs. And, you know, we've mentioned that in the past, but the numbers are that we lost 103,000 full-time jobs in September, and we added all the jobs that were added, the vast majority of them, I shouldn't say all, but the vast majority of them were part-time jobs. So it's all more of the same. It's just the beat continues with this economy that we've had. And, you know, Obama's out there spouting some recent numbers. I have no idea where these came from, because all of a sudden he jumped from like a 30% favorability rating to over 50%. I don't know who did those calculations or whatever, but I wonder sometimes, you know, the institutional money managers that have they have ulterior motives when they come on the financial networks, and their goal is to keep assets under management because that's how they get paid, is simply by having assets under management. But I begin to wonder when they actually seem sincere when they start talking about how jobs are getting better, the economy is getting better. I mean, are they really living in their own little world and they don't get out and see what's going on and how many people are really struggling? 425,000 people left the job force in the last number, 425,000. So we're now up to 94.605 million working age Americans. And I've said this before, but I'm so tired of the argument that the participation rate is not adjusted for the fact that we have the baby boomer generation retiring. That's not what the participation rate is. The participation rate is working age, able-bodied people that are actively pursuing. This doesn't count people that are sitting back and waiting on their government check. These are people that would really like to go to work. That's over 94 million people. So how in the hell can we say that we have a good or tight labor market when we're seeing that? And then they talked about, well, wage increases went up. You know, the pressure went up, 2.4% wage growth. But when you offset the inflation that is actually underlying and likely to get, you know, one of the byproducts of having a growing economy is inflation. So if we do have some good growth policies and good fiscal policies that are put in place by the Trump administration, the byproduct of that is going to be inflation moving to the upside. So the wage growth is going to be more than offset. So the average American's net income after inflation is going to go down. So if you break down the numbers of what we've seen, if it wasn't for the ridiculous affordable health care and the recent GDP number was bogus, we talked about that in our last chat about how the majority of it was the increase. This is how screwed up the numbers are. The recent increase in the GDP, a lot of it had to do with the fact that the prices went up for health care. Somehow that goes into the GDP, and that's a good thing. It's amazing how they can spend the numbers. But retail jobs lost. The manufacturing lost another 9,000 jobs. The mining sector lost another 2,000. Why is that factored in? Well, those are typically higher paying jobs. So in the higher paying sectors, we once again were negative, and we added temporary workers, and that's understandable because we're moving into the holiday season. But they go into the number, and so when people just they don't do the research on their own. And I don't know if you've seen any of these videos that are going around, but there's some people that have actually taken some of the anti-Trump videos that were published and showed how they were spliced, how they took bits and pieces of what he said. And then they've gone back and reshown the actual press conferences, speeches, whatever that Trump was giving, and how different what was publicized was from what he actually said. And it's just you wonder if people took the time to research the numbers. And that's what gets me is we blindly follow. You see the headline number on the jobs report. Nobody goes behind the scenes to really break it down and see what's going on. And it's the same thing with the general population of Americans that are out there protesting. Do you really know what he said? Because when you ask people, you don't get any specific responses. We have such a herd mentality, people just going along with the herd, just falling in line with the group. It's easy to want to protest something. It's almost sexy. You know, you go out there and you protest what's going on. Why don't we spend half the energy that goes into all that crap into really trying to make things better? But the jobs report was abysmal, even though it was much ballyhooed with the majority of people that listen to. And here's another number, 8.05 million people. 8.05 million people, Bubba, have more than one job. And that's an all-time high. It's never historically post-depression, never in the history of our country has it been that high. So the jobs report, as it's being, even if you look at the U6 number, which shows that unemployment is really closer to 10%, I know you're a big proponent of that versus the government's number, that's still even warped when you think about the fact that 10% of our population is truly unemployed. So those are just the unemployed people. The rest of the country, or a good majority of the rest of the country, is working multiple jobs based on these numbers in order to make ends meet. It's insane.
Well, of course it's insane because that's the gimmick that the government has with the reports. I mean, I don't know what you think about government reporting, but it's never correct and it's always adjusted. What do you think about that?
Oh yeah, I joke about that in my daily recordings on when a number is released. Well, you know it's going to be revised how many umpteen times. You agree, maybe you don't agree, but the initial number that comes out gets all the headlines, right? But all the subsequent adjustments that come down the road don't get anywhere near the publicity on the financial networks or anywhere in the media or press. And so, you know, you can just throw out a bogus number, and the government's great about doing this. Even the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS, you know, I'm talking about, you know, drop the L and you have BS. They put out these numbers, and they know they're going to get a big splash from the initial number. And no matter how bogus that number is, once they do the revisions, and maybe if you give them the benefit of the doubt that they're going to put it back in line with what's reality, nobody cares because the revisions don't get anywhere near the publicity that the initial number does. So when the numbers come out, if you don't do your own research, and I've been you know, making a lot of public comments about this as far as general Americans lately is how many people are really doing their own research, or how many are listening to the propaganda that's being spouted all over the place as far as Trump, his policies, et cetera, or just going along with the crowd? Because I ask specific questions anytime I hear somebody. And, you know, I was having breakfast the other morning, Bubba. This really troubles me. Really troubles me when I hear these comments. I don't want to get too political because I know that that always is a bad road to go down. But I was having breakfast, and the TV was on, and Trump was on, and the server came up, and there was these two. They were actually older gentlemen. I was familiar with one of them. I was getting ready to play golf, and this guy's been a golfer for a while. And the server said, "Hey, you know, that's your president." He's like, "It's not my president." And I just looked over at him and I said, "You know, I've done some research. The next flight to Canada has some seats available. I'm tired of hearing people say he's not my president. You know, our system is you have a voice, you have a vote, and then you go make your vote. But then we come together and we rally around who we have in office. And for people to say he's not my president, then this isn't your country. Leave. You know, get on a plane and leave. Go somewhere else. Utilize your voice. Do everything that's legal." But all these comments about that's anti-American to me, and those are the type of people that just, if you don't like it, leave. But why don't we work together and try to make things better? You had your voice. Do you think that the Republicans and the conservatives were excited when Obama was elected? Do you think they were excited when he was reelected for a second term? But there wasn't all these crazy protests in the street. It was like, okay, he's our president. Let's move forward. Let's do the best we can. Let's try to make the best America that we
can.
Well,
I have to interrupt you there because, A, we're getting out of time, but, B, you know, in the offices themselves, they weren't good, but certainly there was no protesting. And this we're going to talk about when we come back, because I think that's ultimately ridiculous, because at the end of the day, I think we want the country to survive, and we want it to be better, and we want it to grow, because if it does, it's better for everybody. This is The Bubba Show. We're with Rob Roy, optionclarity.com. You miss an episode, libertytalk.fm gets you the download. We're going to step out of here for a break. The Bubba Show with Rob Roy, and make sure you go to BubbaTrading.com, and we will show you some pretty good stuff. In the meantime, we'll be back after the break with more from Rob Roy, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Hart's coming right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Rob Roy, optionclarity.com, and getting a little political, but that's okay because I yell all the time. And so, Rob, go ahead and finish. But, I mean, this protesting is a joke. This Barbara Boxer, Harry Reid, all these guys, they want to change the way we count votes. I don't get it. Explain to me why I should be happy with it.
I don't think you should be happy with it. And I have a question for you. I'm sure you're aware of this. But, you know, there's a lot of conspiracy theory stuff floating around. You know, December 19th is the key date. That's when the Electoral College actually places their votes. What do you think about these conspiracy theories out here that I think it's 21 or 24, I'm sorry, I should have the exact number in front of me, states that are not required by law to place their electoral college votes according to what the populace said. And there's these conspiracies of the fact that Hillary could still win if the Electoral College breaks ranks. It's never happened before in our history that the Electoral College did not vote according to what the populace said. But by law, and it is in the laws, that there are, again, either 21 or 24 states that do not have to place their vote. And so there's a lot of commentary about that out there. Any thoughts from your end along those lines?
No, if it happens, you'll see a breakout of a war. You'll bring the revolutionary war that I'm looking for anyways. That would be the end of it. That would be the world would go ballistic if that happened, and the markets would collapse, and it would be a very ugly situation, in my opinion. What do you think?
I agree. I think, you know, revolution, anarchy, whatever you want to talk about, would break out if that happened. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff that floats around out there on the internet and people get all riled up about it, but it's out there. I'm sure you've seen it. I don't even want to give the website any publicity that's touting it, so I'm not going to say the name. But there's a lot of chatter out there about it. And December 19th is a key day. That's when the Electoral College places the official vote, and the election is actually not certified until the Electoral College places the vote. So even though Trump won, and we're all proceeding as far as the reality that he's president-elect Trump, it's not official till December 19th. So I was just curious if you placed any thought into those comments that are going along out there.
No, I think it's all a bunch of bullshit. That's what I think. I think it's a bunch of crap, and it's just trying to wind up more because we've got paid protesters from that jackass George Soros. I mean, I don't get it. I don't even know if he's an American citizen. Is he an American citizen, George Soros?
I think technically he is, but I've seen a lot of stuff about how he should be put in jail and the evilness of one human being is interesting, but I totally agree with you as far as the chaos that one man can cause is kind of fascinating.
I'm serious. Do you know if he's an American citizen? I mean, he wasn't born here. Is he an American citizen? I don't know. I mean, I'm asking if you really know. I don't know.
I actually can't tell you for certain. I assume that he is, but that could be an incorrect assumption. I don't know for a fact to answer your question.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's paying protesters, paying guys $1,500 a week to go out and protest. Isn't that stupid?
It's beyond stupid, but, you know, he has his own ulterior motives in place, and he's trying to create the one aspect of the markets that we know will cause markets to go down, which is uncertainty. And so, you know, he's trying to stir things up. He's a noted short seller. He makes all of his profit on the misery of others, and we'll see. And, you know, short selling is a necessary part of the market, and short sellers aren't evil in any way, shape, or form. But one could certainly argue that we wonder how that man puts his head on the pillow at night.
He plays both sides, and just like he did in past elections. But now, you know, him and Warren Buffett both put all their chips on Hillary, and of course, it didn't work out. So how do you think that's going to work for Mr. Buffett with all of his special...
That is one thing that I wanted to ask you about. That was actually on my list to ask you about. He was so for Hillary Clinton. Breaking ranks with what he normally does and out there basically, you know, stumping for her and everything else. And that, did you see some of the interviews with him since then? What a flip-flopper. And, you know, he's changing his tune. Not acknowledging some of the statements that he made that were so pro-Hillary moving in. I think my opinion is, you know, Warren Buffett has this lovable grandfather, Oracle of Omaha, all this type of stuff, this wonderful view. And as he's entering the later stages of his life, he doesn't want to do anything that's going to take away from this lovable legacy that he's created. So even as I think he was, I never really fully understood, unless there was something behind the scenes that we weren't aware of. And, you know, Hillary would never make any deals behind the scenes. Hopefully everybody realizes the sarcasm in that comment. But the fact that he has taken such an about-face on some of his commentary since Trump was actually elected, I'm not saying he's supporting Trump, but he's certainly not spouting the same rhetoric that he was favoring Hillary moving in. But what a big faux pas for Buffett the results of these elections are. I think it's going to be fascinating to see how that plays out.
Listen, he's a bad guy, okay? He can talk all his crap all he wants. In the meantime, everything he's ever said, he doesn't pay more taxes because he spends millions of dollars on lawyers so that he takes his income and dividend income instead of regular income. And when he talks about inversion, 1 week after he said it shouldn't happen, he went out and bought a company in Canada so he could avert his own taxes. So he's full of crap, and he gets every great deal in the world that nobody else gets because he's got the money. And I don't think he's away from his investing ability, but is certainly the grandfather. Yeah, he's a grandfather who's got his hand in both your pockets when you're around him. What do you think?
I think you're even being kind to him on his investing ability. He follows one strategy, which is the long-term buy and hold. And if you go behind the scenes and look at the numbers, and I've actually done this and I've had commentary on it, he always underperforms in a bullish market. He overperforms a bit on a downward market, but he just long-term buy and hold. He just has the cash behind him to go out that are solid, solvent, that are spouting off cash, and he's willing to hold things for the long term. There's absolutely nothing fantastic about what he does. And, over time, nobody talked about him 20 years ago. It's the fact that he's been around so long, and the markets, historically, we have our ups and downs, and we have some significant retracements, but from the beginning of the markets till now, obviously the markets are higher. So if you have enough cash coming in and you can convince people to send money your way, and that's what, a money manager or hedge fund guy or whatever it is, they're marketers, right? So if you can play the role, which I think he does, and now he's playing the role of the lovable grandpa, that's the role that he's playing, and people are buying into it. And as long as he has money coming in, he can weather the storms. And, the fact that the markets tend to be higher years from now, there's nothing that's impressive about what he does specifically other than the fact that he's survived and he's lasted a long period of time. But the reasons that he's lasted are his marketing abilities, not necessarily the trading abilities, because he's not really a trader. So I just find it.
When you can hold. When you can get Goldman Sachs at 120 and get a special deal from them and get a pref and get a payment from them and dividend extra and then hold it when it goes down to 20 and still be in, that's the guy who's got a lot of money who's willing to sit with it. And there's nothing wrong with that because that strategy has proven to work. However, not many of us have that kind of dough where you can sit back and watch it go down. In the meantime, I'm against them all, but we'll have to talk about that next time when we come back to the Bubba Show, because Rob Roy, OptionClarity.com, we're out of time. As always, thanks so much for being here.
Wow, we're done already. Thanks, Bubba. I appreciate being here. I look forward to next time.
This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. We always enjoy spending time with you, and I am thankful to have you as my listeners, so I do appreciate you all being here. We'll see you back here next time on the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, we'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.